Hello, Jono, hey. And we are back as my headphones fall out my ears. How's it going, mate?
Listen, life is hard, but we keep going, right?
I'm sitting in my bedroom talking to you right now, and I had to kind of swap the whole situation around because if you have to see the thunderstorm that is behind the screen, you would be very embarrassed to be a mate of mine. And also, I'm trying to use my headphones, my earbuds today because my hair is getting completely out of control because I can't go to the hairdresser. I look like Kenny Rogers, so I can wear my hat.
I like it very much.
Anyways, dude, we are digressing and we're here to do some hard work, right? So one of the key things that we've been speaking about a lot offline is just keeping some kind of cadence around the work that you're doing. It's really, at the moment, the social isolation going on. It's hard to keep track of everything, keep in kind of a flow and, focused on what you need to do because you don't get to leave and go work somewhere. You are working where you're sleeping. So keeping some kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? Like a schedule?
Rhythm.
A rhythm. I like that. That is what we need to do. I believe in that. But then specifically also when it comes to consuming content, right? Something that I've been slipping up a little bit until now for the last couple of weeks is my reading has really suffered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, reading, podcast, listening, consuming content. Because a lot of the content that I consume is actually when I'm commuting, when I'm on the road, And I think what we want to talk about today is really getting back into a rhythm. So I've been starting to do that the last couple of days, and I'll get into that. And then the bulk of the show is really to pulse and talk a little bit about retention of information, right? Because the one thing that we do is we start reading, but then I find it sometimes is that after you've done your reading, you go like, okay, shit, what did I just read? How do you retain it? So we want to talk a little bit about the methods that we use, especially now, right? There's really neat, like an opportunity to get to learn a little bit more and read more. Just before we go into that, and I would like to hear what you're doing, Jono, is just from my side is that earlier this week, what I started doing is I started really scheduling out specifically what my reading time is. So I have reading time at night and I have reading time in the mornings. And I'm also flexing the mediums that I'm using. So for example, in the morning, I'm trying to do a bit of exercise and then I listen to an audiobook. And then at night, I read. I like to, rather than grab a book and specifically read it from actual paper pages. I found that's helped. But what I'm doing, though, is that I'm listening and reading to the same book, right?
The first thing is that, to address the point you told about before, I'm lucky that I was used to the 6-second commute. So this is not something I had to change. Now, when it comes to my rhythm, so it didn't change since the last few months. What I try to do is start the day with reading. Why do I do that? It's because when the day starts, things happen. And even if you plan your day properly, the issue is that your planning is going to get messed up by the other folks with whom you're working with. So if you plan, in my case, at least, if I plan my reading session at 4 p.m. or something, the afternoon or even at noon, that's not going to happen 80% of the case. That's not going to happen most of the time because I know that what's going to happen in real life is that at 4:30 p.m., one of my colleagues will ask me, oh, can we have a quick chat? Can we have a quick meeting? And boom, next thing you know, day is ending and I didn't have time to read anything. And as you mentioned very well, the key to read properly the key to read a lot is to read often and get that rhythm.
Exactly. I mean, I've actually started scheduling out time to read. So that is super important. And I think the other thing to focus on is also the formats that you're using, right? like I mentioned a little bit earlier, is that audio is really, really good. But I don't know about you. I find that when I listen to audio, the retention is difficult, right? It depends on what you're listening, because I listen to my business books. Some people say you shouldn't be doing that or don't prefer doing that. What are you doing?
I changed a lot. So what do I do right now? So I buy books twice. I buy books first in audiobook, then in paperback. So listen, the last 15 years, I've been an advocate for digital reading. So I bought exclusively Kindle books. And I was the kind of guy who was, was kind of annoying telling people, oh, you know, paper books take more space, are more expensive, it's not practical, blah, 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 blah. And the moment I started to actually try to retain information, I realized that digital, that didn't work for me. You can consume a lot, but it's very difficult to retain. I will come back to the why just later. So my case right now is that if I start a book, if it's fiction, it's almost exclusively audiobook. Okay, so the Harry Potter, the all the fun fantasy, epic fiction, all of that. Sorry, it's audiobook. Now, when it comes to nonfiction, it's different. Basically, I will start with the audiobook, and if I liked the audiobook, if there is content for me to process, I will buy the paper book and I will read the book a second time. In a different way. Yeah.
I'm different though. I know myself, man. So I grab the audio of my business books and I kind of stick in that genre. Maybe I'm a bit dull. And then but the thing is, what I have to do is I have to buy both too. So I buy the audio and I buy the physical book. I usually jump into the audiobook first, listening to the audiobook with some. I mean, there's a ton of books out there, right? And let's be honest, not all of them are great. So I usually dive into the audiobook. And for example, like Made to Stick, the first version I bought was the audiobook, right? And I went, okay, cool, this is interesting. Let's see what more. And also then for reference, right? Because a lot of times I need to reference books for work. So it's
right.
Reference the hard copy. So then I go and buy the hard copy. I've kind of floated away from the Kindle versions, because just flicking through it quickly and getting real hands on and getting references, I found that has been quite hard for me. But Jonathan, I think what we want to dive into, right, before I start rambling off on a tangent again, is really around now that we've spoken about formatting and scheduling your reading time and keeping the rhythm, it's about you've got some specific techniques that you're focusing on to help you with retention. And you've got this kind of machine going, expose me to. It's like, it's a little bit insane. But I mean, for us humans and mortals listening to you, we can maybe take a few tips from you and then, you know, go to human level. So if you don't mind sharing some of your, I think you call it active reading and rereading.
I'm sorry for you listening. I'm going to show something on the camera. So that's the last book I read. So it's Principle of Two-Dimensional Design. And if you notice my books, yours are the same. There is plenty of sticky notes. And inside the book, I kind of do something I didn't do before. I write a lot, which was for me impossible to think about when I was younger. To write in a book? Come on, you don't do that. So how do I retain information? Okay, it starts by selecting your book well. That's probably the first step people will do. As you mentioned very well earlier, there is a ton of books out there. It's never been so easy to publish books, to write things, and to publish it online, whatever the quality is. And you can't even really trust reviews anymore because they have marketing systems when a book is new. Yeah, you need to wait 1 or 2 years in order to actually know what this book is worth. Because when the book is new, you're going to call all your friends, put me 5 stars, and we're good. So what do I do?
Yeah, a good book lives beyond the context, right? So of when it was written. So that's important. So yeah, I get your point.
So how do I do that selection? Very often I will start with book recommendations from my friends. That's my starting point. Then books that I have, that I was given, gifts, like for example, the last one, because I want to possess the book I have. It's very easy to just accumulate books and never read them. Then, actually, before that, I use Goodreads a lot. Yes. So for those of you who don't know, Goodreads is a book review website that is focused on the community. So you choose people that you follow and you can read their recommendations. So I found a dozen of folks around the world that I really like their review, I really like their taste, fiction, nonfiction. And when they recommend a book, I try to get hold of that book. So that's the first step, selection. Then I schedule my time, so it's in my agenda. We discussed about it earlier. Then the next step is if an audiobook is available, I will start with that. And okay, this is where it gets specific. I read that audiobook at 2x. 2x is too much, too fast to actually, I mean, for me, it's too fast. My speed to read is 1.5. And I read the first time at 2 to 2.5x because my goal is to have a quick overview of that book. So what I do when I read at that speed is that I take notes just of chapters that I want to get back to. So I go through it. So I did that with the last book I read. So before that one, No Time to Spare from Ursula Le Guin, which is a biography, so nonfiction. I read it at 2x, 2.5x. I noted when it was getting very interesting, obviously I slowed it down. And I note the chapters. And my next step is to wait 1 week or 2 weeks. In that case, okay, because of the issues that we had, it's going to be more. But to buy basically the paper book and come back to those chapters. So I don't go through the full book again. I go back to the chapters in which add data I can process. Once I have those chapters, I do a lot of, there are a lot of techniques that you can do, but what do work for me is marginalias. So I'm taking a crayon. I'm not courageous enough to use a pen yet. So I'm taking a crayon and I write into pencil and I write into that book. I write my notes, I write my thoughts, I write the links to all the books. This is very, very, very important. Write everything that books make me think of. And once I go through the book, so this way a second time, I then enter those notes into my system, which is digital. Even though I think I will create an analog system too in the future. That's a project. So that's for the episode in 6 months. right now, I have a digital, basically, second brain, I will say, in which I only input the content I enjoyed from that book. I really try to limit myself. The goal is not to do like an academic summary of the book. No, that is not the point. You have that book, so you don't need to rewrite that book again. So what I'm trying is to choose the best, you know, the best items from that book that make sense for me in my practice or in my life. And then I put that in my system. So the system itself, it's called Zettelkasten. And we could have a full episode only on Zettelkasten. But to make it short, is a system for you to organize information so that you can retrieve it by association and not by searching in folder way. A good article also I will put in the show notes is the system of Ryan Holiday, who is a very, very famous writer. He wrote that marketing book. Trust me, I'm lying. And he wrote one book on stoicism. That's his last book. And he has a system that he explained that is really close to Zettelkasten that we will share in the show notes. So basically, what I do is that I never write without a pencil. I never read, sorry, the paper book without a pencil in my hand. I write my notes. I am very conscious that I don't want to rewrite everything. A simple example is that I don't quote. I write with my own words what I understood previously. And then I put the reference. So I say, okay, page 32, 33, if I want to get back to the source text. And then if there is content I can process for a future article or anything, I can create what they call a permanent note in which I'm going to quote, but that's going to be a real like piece of content I can publish. So that's pretty much it. That's pretty much the first part of it.
We've spoken about it before. It's like the systematization. Wow. That's a hard word for Afrikaans guy to say. But to do that is really important. And, I found that retention of specific details of books that I read is super important. So I follow the same as you. I have tons of like sticky notes and stuff in books as well. But the one thing that I've started doing, but I've been doing it for a long time, is to actually do sketch notes on the actual book. So especially when I listen to audiobooks, the only thing is like keeping the momentum, because if you fall behind, it becomes a bit of a pain in the ass. So I'll also do a show and tell. This is my little my traveler's notebook.
Nice.
You'll see when I flip this bad boy open, I actually have sketches from a lot of the books that I've read, which I feel like the sketch noting really works well, because in any book that an author puts together, there is some kind of mental model or structure that this person puts together, right? And sometimes I feel a lot of authors try and elaborate on all the points, but if you kind of dig deep into that book, there's a structure, there's a basic thing that you can explain, the 1 minute pitch. What is this book about? So with the sketch notes, I try and actually uncover what that kind of 1 minute pitch is. The only thing that I think is weak with the sketch notes is retention of specific things, quotable elements that you can then pull out of the book. But I think in combination with what you just spoken about, and we'll put it in the show notes, and then combining it with like trying to articulate what you've read through writing it, not just typing it in a computer, becomes important to help you with the retention. And also the other thing, dude, I don't know if you do it a lot, but I have to start doing it now, is rereading.
I do.
I see in Goodreads people hammer through books like machines, but I'm not... And I'm one of them. But then I'm going like, okay, cool. I've done my 18 or 20 books for the year. What can I actually remember? And sometimes you actually have to go back and reread stuff, right? So it's good to schedule those into the list. That's why it's to be a connoisseur and picking out the right things. Yeah, so let's wrap this up, right? Jono, where do you find block thinking? It's not a trick question.
So on blockthinking.com, so blockthinking.com. And you can also find us on Twitter. So at blockthinking, Instagram, Facebook. And we will welcome your feedback if you want us to talk more about, you know, what do we do to retain information. If you want us to talk more about Zettelkasten, which can be an episode in itself. If you want to talk about... basically, how do you in your routine, how could you implement those solutions? Yeah, just contact us.
I mean, there's more in this topic. So, but the thing is, we're kind of testing the waters. And if you want to have a bit of a conversation or connect to us, or even have Jonathan elaborate a little bit, boom, send us a note and we'll do that, right? Because we have lots of time to do that now, right, Jono? And then the other thing I wanted to add, right? I just want to send a shout out to your lovely fiance who's on the front lines, and also my cousins who are out there looking after our health. Guys, keep safe out there. We respect what you're doing. And then also I want to start adding to my voice too, like we all need to start wearing damn masks, because even this I feel a bit uncomfortable. I went out this week and I don't want to look like Batman down the road, right? But the thing is, I read something that makes 100% sense to me, is that when you're wearing a mask, you're not protecting yourself, you're protecting other people. because it's about you protecting other people, not the reverse. And then it starts becoming, makes a lot more sense, right? So wear those masks, keep those hands clean and off your face, unlike Vanna, who does it all the time in a live recording. Sorry again, Anetka. So much love, guys. Keep safe out there, and thanks for joining us.
Stay safe and talk to you in the next one.